Open up to Hebrews chapter 8. I want to do a quick review tonight. Probably won't do the visual because we've done it several times. About coming out of the world. You know, Dave taught us all, he said, if you'll pray a lot in tongues, your life will change. How many can give a testimony to that? He says, if you pray a lot in other tongues, the Holy Spirit will teach you the truth. Amen. Can I get a witness on that? See? How about this, though? When you start really seeing the truth and it just scares the bejabbers out of you. You talk about our way going to get narrower. Our way is going to get narrower. Because that's what he bled and died for. And I'm trying not to be overly dramatic, but I'm having trouble speaking. I think I know a little bit about what Paul said, I was with you in fear and trembling. Because what I'm seeing is scary. It really is. But I believe it is the truth. And I'll be honest with you, I've asked those that I trust and love and have walked this path with us, said, if you see me getting off, I need you to let me know. Be a friend. Be a friend. Okay? So, with that wonderful anticipation, let's read Hebrews 8 just a little bit. This is talking about the change of covenant. And it's not referring it's not referring here to the Abrahamic covenant. When it says he taketh away the first, he's not talking about the one that God made with Abraham in Genesis. He's talking about the one that he made with them when he brought them out of Egypt. And what is that? That's what we commonly call the Mosaic, where God gave the law, made a covenant with them, blessing and cursing. I went through it with Mary up here. The first covenant was, you keep my law, and I will be a God unto you. And the problem is, there was a flaw in man, and that's the Romans 7 guy who had received God's law, and with his mind he agreed, it's holy and righteous and good, and I want to keep it. Trouble is, every time he tries to keep it, he would fail. And even the man himself, he comes to the conclusion, he said, well, there's something wrong with me. There's a flaw in me. And so you could say there's a flaw in mankind. That's deeper than our will. It's deeper than our mind. It's deeper than our want-tos. Because I want to keep it. I want to keep it. But every time he tried, he failed. And finally he said, I find another law working in my members. And it's that law of sin and death. Well, that's the whole human race before the cross. There was a flaw in man. God, he talks about that in this very passage, Romans 8, starting in verse 6. It says, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he, that's Jesus, is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, now notice, if the first, you can strike through that word covenant, it's not in the original. If the first had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. But what was causing the fault? For finding fault with them. See, God's law is pure, holy, good. You know, one place in Paul's writing, is the law sin? God forbid. You know, no, the law is holy and good and righteous. The fault was in man. What was that fault? The law of sin and death. Everybody is born with it. Passed down from Adam all the way through every generation. And there's no getting rid of it. Good works won't get rid of it. Good intentions won't get rid of it. Trying better, New Year's resolutions. even repenting won't get rid of it because it's a flaw at the core. It's a flaw at the core. But he says, for finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day which I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Now why? What's different? Well, that covenant he made with them was dependent on them first keeping his law. But notice, they continued not in my covenant. They kept breaking the law. But the thing of it is, because of that flaw, every one of them was a Roman 7 type person. Every single one of them. And even the ones that, I mean, some people don't care. You know, we've studied a couple of times, Romans 1 is a different kind of person. They had the knowledge of God and they didn't care. They understand that God made them, I mean, it's just one kind, but God made them male and female. It says you can look at nature and understand God. You can look at how God made a man, how God made a woman. It's not rocket science to figure out how this is supposed to work, how the parts fit together. Can I say it that way? No, little. What are you going to say? Okay. Anyway, it's not hard. All right. But that's not what they wanted. No, I don't care what you say. And they said they had the knowledge of God, but they chose not to retain God in their knowledge. So they started making God in the image of man. See, that's religion. I want to make God in my own image. And even lower. No, we made him into a bird. Yeah, God's a bird now. Lower things. Why? They did not want to retain the knowledge of God. They wanted the lifestyle that they wanted, and they didn't care what God said. So eventually, God gave them up to a reprobate mind, and they exchanged the natural use of the woman. Women started having relations with women. Men started having relations with men. But it doesn't end there. That's not the only thing. He starts talking about every other sin right at the end of the chapter. Well, but in every case, they chose not to retain the knowledge of God. We want what we want. We don't care that you call it sin. We don't think it's sinful. We'll be our own gods. Thank you very much. Those people are all in hell now, unless they got saved. You know that, right? But see, Romans 7 is a different kind of person. This is the one that Jesus really talked about in the Sermon on the Mount. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Well, that's the Roman 7 person. I hunger and I thirst. I want to live holy and clean. I want to keep your law. Bless God, by this new covenant they shall be filled. They shall be filled, see, with the real righteousness of God. All right, so this making a new covenant. So because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. So now he's describing this new covenant. The old covenant was you, according to the camera, you keep my law, then I will be your God. But notice who takes the initiative in this new covenant. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. Notice who moves first here. I. See, it's all about, this is grace right here. This is grace. You can't help yourselves. You can't change the flaw. You can't fix the flaw that's in you. So I, through the finished work of my son, it will be paid for so that at the new birth, I will be able to write my laws into your mind and write them into your hearts. I will be to them a God, they shall be to me a people, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Now people take that verse out of context. They apply it to people who have been born again. And in the context, it's applied to those that got born again. If I had the world up here, now I'm not going to do it again. Cameraman, just follow my hand. If I had the world, remember, we had like 4 or 5 people up here represent the whole world, and I had Mary Lee Vall come up. She's just part of the world, but she is a Roman 7 person. Crying out, O God, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who shall deliver me? Thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then we come into that glorious Romans 8 chapter. Mary gets born again. And for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And she becomes a new creature. And that's when, right there, he will be merciful. He was merciful to Mary's unrighteousness. And her sins, he remembered, is it? And her iniquities, he remembered no more. That's why it's called mercy. That's why it's called grace. I could put Gary Carpenter. Let me put Gary over there. Gary did not deserve to be saved. He had to look at Gary's sinful, iniquity-filled life and have mercy on me anyway through the blood of Jesus Christ so that I could get born again. But now here's the rest of the gospel, see? Now go ahead and go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Gary, what does this have to do with healing? Everything. But we're not going to get to it tonight. We've got a foundation that's got to be laid. 2 Corinthians 6. And this was the Corinthians born again? Sure they were. They had problems in their church. They had this guy that had his father's wife. Openly, at first, he was just still coming to church like God. Basically, he may not have been saying the words, but by his actions, he was saying, God's grace covers this. I can sleep with my father's wife and do it openly, and God's grace covers it. That's real similar to the radical grace message today. Okay? Real similar. Now, by the way, somebody got on to me for using the phrase radical grace because they said, God's grace is radical. I said, oh, stop it. I got to call it something, you know, excessive grace. Do you feel better? I don't know. You know what I'm talking about. That movement. All right. Swallow a camel and spit out a gnat. But anyway, they'll probably get mad at me for saying that. But anyway, we all get saved by grace. He has mercy on every single, he had mercy on the whole planet when Jesus died. Mercy. Gary didn't have to pay for his sins to get saved, did he? But what was God doing? God was fixing the flaw. The thing in man that prevented man from that law of sin and death that prevented man from being able to live above sin. God is fixing that flaw. He took out that law of sin and death and replaced it with the law of the Spirit of life. In Christ Jesus. And then Romans 6 plainly says, well, shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Why? What does that mean? We're not under the law but under grace. You're not under that first covenant. You're under the second. And his grace empowered you now to walk out of sin. All of it. All of it. Now, there's a progression for everybody, but it's not a progression in the growth of holiness. That new man on the Ephesians 4 says, that new man, that instant, I like to say from the get-go that you got born again, that new creature on the inside, the real you, is born in righteousness and true holiness. And from that instant, you can come out. You can walk above sin. So I had the image here. We had the world, four or five people just representing the world, just normal people. Then we had Mary get saved. But Mary has soul ties like everybody has soul ties. So I let one of the persons represent bad music. One represented drugs. One represented, what was it, adultery and fornication. You could bring up 100 people to represent the world. But now Mary has a choice. And now we're at 2 Corinthians 6, 16 through 18. It says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be you separate, says the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, going back to our visual demonstration, Mary wanted that before. See, Mary was one that wanted to live righteous and holy. But she couldn't do it. Every time she'd try, just like every other human, before they get born again, that law of sin and death kept dragging you back. But now she's really free. Now she's really free. And now there's, now that new life on the inside of her is saying, well, the drugs have got to go. And the soul is going to resist you. The flesh, let me say the flesh. Remember Galatians 5? There is a war. There is a war. Your flesh does not care about God at all. It wants what it wants when it wants it. If it feels good, let's do that. That's the gospel of the flesh. Do y'all understand there is no incentive for the flesh to live holy? The flesh is going back to the dust of the earth, no matter what you do. You got that? There's no incentive. It's going, I might as well get my jollies now. I might as well have my pleasure now because the day's coming. I'm going back to the dust. See, there's a new body coming for you out of the new DNA. But anyway, that's another whole lesson, that spiritual DNA. But that body you're wearing now, anyway, dust, from the dust it came, from the dust it will return. There's no incentive for the, it's going, your flesh doesn't go, let's live holy so I can go to heaven. It ain't going. Not the body you're wearing now. Sorry. Dust it came, dust it's returning. No, it's your spirit. All right, getting back to our visual. I'm going to stay with this. Well, Mary's either going to come out or she's not going to come out. Man, it's okay. Now, this is new. We haven't touched this before. Go to James. He won't let me get past this. He's almost shouting in my spirit, like, I'm serious. Read this. Yes, sir. Trouble is, I don't have it marked. I hope I can find it. Y'all help me, you Bible scholars. Where is the verse that says, we'll be judged by the perfect law of liberty? Mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Thank you. Hallelujah. 2:13. Yep. See, I don't have that one underlined. I don't know why. Look at verse 12. See, if I backed up, if we backed up here, good Lord, you have to back up all the way to chapter 1, verse 1. But how about verse 10? Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. Now, verse 12. So speak ye and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What in the world? Verse 12. So speak ye and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Now, Jesus, law of liberty. If you're at liberty, are you free? Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Isn't that right? And you know he was talking about sin there. So the law of liberty is actually, go back to Romans 8, see it in your Bible. Look at verse 2, Romans 8, 2. This is the law of liberty right here. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. If you have been made free from something, have you not been set at liberty? We're going to be judged by that law. You're free from sin. Mary, in the visual, Mary, I set you free. I fixed the flaw, Mary. Holiness is your choice. I think we had a lesson Holiness is your choice now. If you were serious, you can come out now. Now the question is, what about those who don't? See, we're going to be judged by this law. Fear and trembling. This is because Gary, it's all Nunya. There are some areas that Gary's walk needs to become more narrow. Flirting too close, maybe, okay? Because now I'm understanding what that law really is. It really, I could go right back. In fact, let's just do it for Nathan's sake. He's probably watching. Go back to Romans 2. Here's another way of looking at that law of liberty. Verse 14. Now verse 13. Verse 12. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God. Now get this. This is in the New Testament. This is after the resurrection. But the doers of the law shall be justified. What? I thought he took away the first. Yeah, he did. Because under that first, he gave you the law, but did not empower you by grace to keep it. But in the second, first he had mercy on all your iniquities, paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. Then by his grace, he made you a new creature. He took out the law of sin and death and replaced it with the law of life, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And empowered you to walk free from sin. And how he did that, he put a nature on the inside of you that is holy and just from the day you get saved. Created in you full blown. Doesn't have to learn righteousness. It is righteousness. And that's how these Gentiles who have not the law, they never heard the law. Nobody ever read them the Ten Commandments, but they heard about Jesus and they got saved. And God wrote his law in their mind. God wrote his law in their heart. And the Gentiles, which they were never taught the law, now by nature, boy, if you underline, they do by nature. What nature? The new nature. The things contained in the law. These, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. And that is the law of liberty. He set you free. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. Now notice, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. See, he's talking about judgment day right there. We're not going to be judged by the Ten Commandments written in stone. You're going to be judged by, did you yield to the thoughts that were generated by that new nature? That is the perfect law of liberty. That's how we're going to be judged. Now see, right now, I'm scared to death. Because I can think today of an incident or two where I violated that law. And so let me put you in remembrance of this. 1 John, I'm writing this to you that you sin not. Meaning, you can walk that way. Right? Thank God for the next sentence. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And that's in chapter 2, I believe. Chapter 1 is where it says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to not only forgive us, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But see, the church as a whole, I'm going to talk about Gary. I can't talk about everybody's mindset. I didn't grow up in the holiness church. I grew up where I grew up. And it was a very much grace covers everything type gospel. And I don't mean radical grace. Was Baptist, okay, Southern Baptist, the kind I grew up in. And I'm going to say it again. Thank God for the Baptist. I have seen many, many people get saved in that church. Okay? But right on the other hand, there's some really bad doctrine there, because where I grew up. Now, maybe not in all of them. I just know about the ones I grew up in. Because they would teach you, yeah, you got saved, but you're still just an old sinner saved by grace. And so you really can't stop sinning, but we want you to stop sinning, but you really can't. So it's all for the next 50 years, you're going to vacillate between those two thoughts. And you're going to do the best you can, but most of them never really, never really come out of sin. Some of them do. But that's where you get things like a friend of mine that I drove trucks with. I'll tell you, I was saved, but I had never heard of Dave Rope. Well, let's see. Yeah, before we ever even started coming here, I hadn't heard really of Dave's. I didn't know this message, but we were saved. Anyway, this friend of mine, one of them good old boys, you know what I mean? Friend to everybody. He could talk about Jesus, get drunk at the bar all in the same night. Some night talk about Jesus, drunk at the bar. And I remember a sentence that he said. I heard him say it more than once. Just get snottered drunk. And I talked to him about it. I said, well, doesn't the Bible say not to get drunk, you know? Drunks aren't going to make it into the kingdom of God. And he says, oh, don't worry. All the time I'm sitting there getting drunk, I never forget who my Lord is. And there was a thought on the inside of me that I didn't speak because I didn't trust it. But I know now it was the Holy Ghost. Because he would say, I'd sit there drunk and never forget who my Lord is. And that voice on the inside said to me, no, he never knew who his Lord is. He never knew him. He believed a false gospel. That God's grace covers your sin, even after you're saved. When the whole point was to empower you by grace to set you free from sin. See, John chapter 8, even before, you know, it's further down in John 8 where he says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. But earlier in that chapter, he said, those that follow me shall not walk in darkness, for they shall have the light of life. That light of life is the new nature. That is the law of liberty that set us free from sin. Now, years ago, I'm going to say 15, I'm going to say 20 years ago maybe, I tried to study some of the writings of Charles Finney. Most of you probably heard the name Charles Finney. He was a great, great revivalist, you know. By his own account, he said his ministry was to the lost in the church. Seriously. He says the church is filled with lost people. They're very religious. They're moral in the sense they're trying their best, you know. Well, not their best. They're trying to live kind of a moral life. But he said the church is mainly filled with lost people. Well, I couldn't handle that back then. But as time goes on, and I'm really understanding what God did to set us free with His perfect law of liberty, the one I'm going to be Gary is going to stand before God and give an account. Why did not you yield to the new nature? Now that is where you're judged by the law of liberty. I set you free from that, Gary. Let's just take smoking. Now, how many of you know I have repented? I have not smoked in many years. I thank God for the blood. I'm going to also say at this point, God is long-suffering. If you don't believe that, look how He has dealt with you. Now, we're commanded to be long-suffering towards one another. Amen. But what's happened is because of false doctrine, I think the vast majority of the church believes you really can't stop sinning, and God's grace covers it. I'm just going to quote Charles Finney. It's our quote of the day. I've already added this to my good quotes, by the way. When I find a really good quote, I add it to that good quotes thing. This is Charles Finney. He says, the impression of many seems to be that grace will pardon what it cannot prevent. In other words, that if the grace of the gospel fails to save people from the commission of sin in this life, I need to read that again, it's a little wordy. If the grace of the gospel fails to save people from the commission of sin in this life, it will nevertheless pardon them and save them in sin if it cannot save them from sin. Is that clear? Now, really, I understand the gospel as teaching that men are saved from sin first, and as a consequence, from hell. They are not saved from hell while they are not saved from sin. Christ sanctifies when he saves. And this is the very first element or idea of salvation, saving from sin. Then he quotes the angel, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And another time it says, "Having raised up his son Jesus," says the apostle, "he hath sent him to bless you, in turning every one of you from his iniquities." Let no one expect to be saved from hell unless the grace of the gospel saves him first from sin. That's the end of the quote. Now notice the shouting and the running and the banners. Notice, this is not the fact that it hits us that strong. Let's me know we've still got deception to move out of the way. And we're not preaching. I told you, fear and trembling. I'm careful about what I'm saying. Okay? And I don't want to jump ahead, and I don't want my own reasoning to get mixed in with it. In fact, let's just do this. Let me just give you four scriptures that seem to bear that one out. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation." Now stop. How many wants any other kind? I don't want any other kind, do you? I want the grace of God that brings salvation. "Well, it hath appeared to all men, teaching us." Well, what did it teach us? "Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." And I thought I understood that verse until he really began showing me the little movie that I've been demonstrating with Mary coming out of the world. That's the grace of God. He fixed the flaw. He says, "Now if you're serious, come out from among them and be you separate." Yes, sir. Man. I will come back and give you the other three. Go to John 3. This has taken on a whole new meaning. John 3, isn't that close to John 3:16? Yep, right after it. Where we're going to look. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now here's the verse 19. This is the one I was hearing. "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Now remember that little movie? Here's Mary, got saved at one of those Dave Roberson evangelistic crusades. New life come into her, the law, the perfect law of liberty come in and set her free. But if you remember, she stepped out a little bit. I'm going to, camera, follow me over here. I had the world stepping behind her. She had a hold of everybody's hands, just like we're all entangled in some kind of sin, right? I mean, it could have been love of money, could have been adultery, could have been fornication, could have been pornography, could have been any drugs, anything. But suddenly God says, Mary, or Gary, I fixed that flaw. By my grace, I had mercy on your iniquity. We wiped the slate clean. Your sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. We're starting new with this new life. You're a new creature, and I've put a new law on the inside of you. I wrote my law in your mind. I wrote it in your heart. You have a thoughts now that accuse or excuse everything you're about to do. What are you going to do about pornography? Well, see, now that's a whole different ballgame. I want to live holy. Until you can. Now what do you love? Well, part of it has been deception because we have not really known the truth about what the law of liberty even really was. I thank God for Nathan. God raising up to make it so crystal clear. That boy has a way of... it's a knife, you know. And light and dark. There's no gray. Isn't that right? And that's the way that new nature is. Pornography, bad. God, good. Bad, got to go. But see, are you going to come out or not? Then he said it to me this way. He says, to me personally now, he said, you're either going to depart from iniquity or you're going to depart from me. And I think that's our next verse. It is Matthew 7. Which seems to line up exactly with what Charles Finney said. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many mighty works? He doesn't even know. They're going to try and justify their working for him. But notice, then while I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Now why? What is the defining reason that they have to depart? Ye that work iniquity. They're being judged by the perfect law of liberty. You can. Will you? What do you love? Say it with me again. God is long-suffering. He's kind. He's merciful. But He's also a judge. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal. Now see, that word foundation to me is so important. This is not supposed to be something you learn after 20 years praying in other tongues. This was something I was supposed to be taught as a baby Christian. This is foundational. Having this seal. The Lord knows them that are His. See up there, He says, I don't know you. I don't know you. See, the Lord knows those that are His. Those that are His depart from iniquity. The Lord knows them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And up there He says, depart from me, you that work iniquity. So the way He said it to me, in words Gary can understand, you will either depart from iniquity or you will depart from me. One more. I'm going to race to the door. No, I got to do the confessions. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I hardly ever do this, but I'm going to read it out of the New King James. Well, we don't know. A lot of evil concupiscence. Come on. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Now remember, I'm going to read the last portion of what Finney said before I read this. He says, I understand that the gospel as teaching that men are saved from sin first and as a consequence from hell. and not that they are saved from hell while they are not saved from sin. Okay, you got that? 1 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators. Now, as I'm reading this, picture Mary standing in front of the world. And maybe, and she's just a type of everybody that got saved. She's saved now. She's got the law of life on the inside of her. She's got that, she's going to be judged by the law of liberty. And what is that life preaching? Fornication is wrong. Adultery is wrong. All of this stuff is wrong. And it's up to her, though, whether she lets go of the world and walks on out or not, isn't it? All right. But what if she doesn't, see? Do not be deceived. And a big part of the church is. Church at large. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, now notice, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, that's crooks, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because God set you free from all that. And you're not going to have excuse. You can't stand before him. Gary can't stand before him that day and say, I didn't know fornication was wrong. Yeah, I did. The day I got born again, he wrote it in my mind and in my heart. No preacher had to tell me. I'm without excuse. I can't spend my life serving money. Notice covetousness. Do you notice he put covetous? Let me change it. Greedy people in the same boat with drunks and sodomites. Put them in the same boat. Fornicators. I can't spend my whole life running after money, fame and fortune, bowing down to the God of Mammon, and on that day be judged by the perfect law of liberty and say, well, I didn't know that was wrong. Liar. You put a nature on me that tells me that's wrong. I can't spend my life living for money. I like the confession, money serves me as I serve the Lord. Well, that's a good confession. You need to make sure it's true. So, Angie, go start the car for me, honey. I'm quiet in here. We'll do confessions next time. I'm teasing. Nor thieves, nor covetous. I'm going to read it again because it makes people mad. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And notice, and such were, past tense, some of you. Such were, past tense, some of you. See, I agree totally with what Alan's teaching today. And what Nathan taught today. If you're doing those things, that's not really the real you. The real you, maybe you were some of those things, but the real you is not those things now. But the real you needs to rise up and take dominion over your flesh. Because on that day, you will be judged by the law of liberty. But you were, notice it's all past tense. The day you got born again, you were washed. Now notice this. You were sanctified. You were, what do you mean you were sanctified? Does that mean your life was perfect? One instant you weren't, the next instant you were? In your spirit, yes. You went from an unholy, slavish to sin creature to the righteousness of God in the blink of an eye. Now see, if we had, we're out of time, but if we could go to Galatians. So that's how you live in the Spirit. But Galatians says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And that's where he's bringing us this year now. I'm telling you, my way is getting narrower. I can see it. I can smell it. I can feel it. It's scary to me. It's like the fear of God is more rejuvenated in a way it hasn't been in a long time. I don't want to be on no shaky ground. I'm asking the Holy Spirit now. I said, Lord, anywhere that I've been doing stuff so long, my conscience, I've seared it, I don't even recognize it. Please, make that tender again, and give me a nudge, you know. And you like that prayer until he answers it. And your favorite TV show has to go, or your favorite food has to go, or your favorite habit, whatever it is, has to go. Or he shows you golf to you. I've never played golf in my life, but golf to you is an idol, like he showed me that time music to me was an idol. See, I can't tell you what your idol is. Holy Spirit has to talk to you. See, you know, John ends his letter with, you know, little children, better get rid of them idols. Man, I'm running over. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. They're not going to make heaven. Don't die in any one of those brackets. And such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, all of that, put that in remembrance when you saw Mary come out of the world. That's the day that that happened. The day that she received Christ, she was washed. She was set apart. She was justified. This, we're, you know, it talks about God who justifies the ungodly. That's called mercy and grace. But he did not forgive us and leave us the same. He empowered us. Grace empowered it. It fixed the flaw that was in that first covenant. And now we can come out of the world. He will receive us, be a father to us. We will be his sons and daughters, and he will be our father. We'll do exploits for the world. We will be judged by the perfect law of liberty. Let's walk in that liberty, because Jesus paid a terrible price in order to set us free. Amen. Amen.